Hare Krishna, thank you very much for inviting me here to your wonderful satsanga and engaging me in the service of Sri Krishna, keeping me out of trouble. So we're going to read from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. We're reading from the 18th chapter. Entitled The Perfection of Renunciation. Can you stop this ringing a little bit? Text number 65. I think many of you may already know this sloka, so I'm going to chant it, and I think some of you may know it already. It's a very famous. It's the most confidential thing in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says. He says in the sloka before this, in 64, Krishna says to Arjuna, because you are my dear friend, I am speaking to you. My supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. And Krishna says, Manmana bhava madbhakto,
Manmana bhava madbhakto,
Madhyachi mam namaskuru,
Madhyachi mam namaskuru,
Mamevasyasi satyam te,
Mamevasyasi satyam te,
Padityane priyosimi,
Padityane priyosimi,
Manmana bhava madbhakto,
Manmana bhava madbhakto,
Madhyachi mam namaskuru,
Madhyachi mam namaskuru,
Mamevasyasi satyam te,
Mamevasyasi satyam te,
Padityane priyosimi,
Padityane priyosimi.
Anyone else like to repeat the
Manmana bhava
in English? Always think of me, Krishna says. Become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. Jai.
The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna, and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is a dear friend of Krishna. Anyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend of Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate the mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and a peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord had multifarious forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Omagyanam tirandasya gyanam gyanam shalakaya shakshuramitam tena sasana sri gurudema nama om vishnu padaya krishna prishtaya bhutale shri bhakti viranta swami nitya namane namaste saraswati devi gurudvani prasadane nirvishesha shantavadi paschatya siddhane jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasadi bhakta vrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare. Sometimes the next shloka is considered the most important shloka. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me, and I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So people come. I was speaking to one man, and I mentioned that verse to him. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee. You surrender all other dharmas unto me, and I will protect you from all sinful reaction. He said, yes, I have a question to ask. I think this Krishna is very selfish. Why is he saying that? Only to me, nobody else, only me. But he says, Mam Ekam, me alone. He's telling Arjuna, because Arjuna is his friend and devotee. So, even if Krishna is selfish, he can be the most selfish person. That's all right. That's perfectly all right if wants to be selfish. Actually, because he's selfish, because he's only interested in love. If he wasn't selfish, he wouldn't come here. But because he's greedy for love, greedy for exchange, and we're not giving him that, so he comes here just to enact pastimes, just to divert our attention and wake us up back to what we're supposed to be doing. So if he wasn't selfish, if he wasn't thinking of his own love, then he wouldn't come. So even if he's selfish, it's for the benefit of everyone. Everything that he does is wonderful. And one activity satisfies so many devotees' desires. So Krishna acts in so many wonderful ways that whatever you say about Krishna, you can always turn it around for the absolute benefit. So even if Krishna is selfish, it's good. Otherwise, if he wasn't selfish, he wouldn't bother about us rotting here in the material world. We'd never get free. We'd never get out. He's very nicely happy enjoying. Brahma Samhita, it is mentioned he has hundreds and millions, billions of gopi friends in Vrindavan. If a handful of them go away, there's no loss. No loss. Already he's Atmarama. But then he's got millions of goddesses of fortune surrounding him. Plus he has all his friends, his parents, his elders, the cows are there. There's so much enjoyment for him. His enjoyment is completely unhindered. You cannot check Krishna's enjoyment. Nothing can check that. Because his determination, his desire, is actual fact. So you cannot, his enjoyment cannot be hindered in any way. If a few turn away from him, what is his loss? Out of billions and billions of devotees who are loving him, what is the loss for him? But even if you say he's selfish, what we say, out of compassion, out of love for us, he has no need of our love in the aspect that he has millions of other lovers there. He definitely needs love. He definitely needs devotees. Because love, exchange, rasa means two, it doesn't mean one. Exchange means two, right? The object and the enjoyer. So, it is said that Krishna is incomplete without his devotees. Just like the cow, if it gives wonderful milk, what is the use if there's no milkman? What is the use of a beautiful musical instrument if there's no musician? So like that, what is the use of Krishna's love if there's nobody to draw it from him, to evoke it from him, that he can experience and reflect back? So this is the pastime, this is Krishna in Vrindavan. Every word is a song, every step is a dance. And love is the theme there. Everything is based around that love of Krishna for his, and everyone is acting for his pleasure. So the whole pastimes there in the spiritual world, everyone is simply absorbed in how we can give Krishna new and new ways to enjoy. That is the whole life. And they're always thinking and exchanging their views and making plans, programs, how Krishna can enjoy it. Not only the gopis, everyone there. Everyone and everything is fully conscious in spiritual world. So when even when Krishna goes, we only get a glimpse of the, it's not much description of the spiritual world, but we see that the Bhuma Vrindavan, when Krishna appears, comes here for our benefit, to attract our minds, then there's a reflection of the spiritual world. So it's very much similar to the what goes on in the spiritual world. Not exactly the same, but we can get a good idea of that, of the loving exchanges that go on in the within the spiritual world. So everything, everyone and everything is arranging for Krishna's pleasure. So that even when Krishna goes out into the forest, then Vrindadevi, with the help of her parrots who are spies, and they tell everywhere Krishna is, what he's doing, where he's coming, so they don't have mobiles, they have parrots there. So know exactly what's going on with Krishna, where he's coming. Then everything, they prepare everything for him as he comes. Then as he's coming, even the little grass, the inert grass here, is fully conscious, and the trees and the plants. The parrots will come and say, Krishna's coming, and everyone's ears prick up, everyone becomes conscious. Already they're already engaged in talking about Krishna's pastimes, all these living entities, all these non-moving living entities. But when Krishna's coming, they all become erect, like the hairs on your body stand on end in ecstasy sometimes, so the grass springs up. then everything is expected and waiting for Krishna. And they're all saying, Krishna will come, I hope he cares for me today. Maybe he'll pass by me and brush me. The bushes and the creepers are even like this, not to speak of the people. So as Krishna comes, everything is transformed for his pleasure. If it's hot day, the ground becomes cool and smooth. And if it's a cold day, the ground becomes warm and soft. And the flowers, they produce their best flowers in any season when Krishna's coming. No matter what season, when Krishna comes, they'll put their best flowers and scents, and the fruits will appear. And the birds will be there, and the bees making a background chorus, like the bees are like a Venus. the whole symphony is going on. The chorus birds, the different birds, they're just like different musical instruments. And they're all everything, the whole background there is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Yes, Goloka Premadara Dana Hari Nama Sankirtan. This Hari Nama is coming from the Goloka, spiritual world. It's descended here for our benefit. So everyone and everything is making suitable arrangements for Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna equally reciprocates with everyone there. And although there's hundreds of millions of devotees there, uncountable, in the whole material world is just a small portion, just a cloud-covered portion of the spiritual world. And the living entities here, it's only a few compared with that. And yet every day, everyone gets darshan of Krishna by the inconceivable potency of yoga maya. Every day, Krishna gets they meet Krishna face to face. Everyone of countless millions of by the potency of yoga maya. And there they arrange for Krishna's pastimes. And there they have a lot of freedom how to deal with Krishna as friends and lovers. The friends, they play with Krishna as an equal. Because there the whole mood is madhurya, or sweetness, love. It's very, very sweet. Krishna's very enchanting, everything he does, every word he speaks, every gesture he makes, every time he moves his eyebrows or does something, it's full of wonder for those people. And Krishna's enjoying just as much as they are when he's reciprocating with his devotees. So they're feeling great pleasure. So every day is a festival, every moment is a festival. Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam is described. But it's ever increasing. Not like here, if you like something here, but you keep on doing that thing, it becomes nasty. In the end you don't like it at all. In the end you hate it. You think about it. Whatever it is you like to do, if you keep on doing it, to be disgusted, whether you hate it at the end, if you have to, if you're forced to do it. But there, it's actually, the pleasure actually increases. That is the inconceivable spiritual atmosphere which is going on in the spiritual world. So every day there is full of wonder, and then the night, there's a night and day also, although it's a transcendental time there, not like here. We cannot imagine because it's a different dimension. But there's a day and a night. And so Krishna has his pastimes in from the morning to the evening, and then again there's different pastimes at night. So there's division there also, although that time there is eternal at the same time, inconceivably for us. So that is where we're supposed to be. That is a picture, little glimpse of what we can stretch our imagination, how it is in the spiritual world. And now we've left that place for some reason or other, somehow or other, we found ourselves in this precarious position in the material world, trying to achieve that same feeling, that same mood, that same atmosphere, and trying to create that same atmosphere here, because that's very appealing to everyone. Everyone wants that. But unfortunately, it is not to be. This place is not designed like that. So this is called Maya. Maya, that which is not. We're trying to find that place. We're trying to find that atmosphere in a place where it doesn't exist. This is the Achit world, the temporary manifestation, temporary reflection. So in the water, in the reflection, the things look exactly real. In the looking glass, in the mirror, everything is there. The same shape, the same color, the same size. But if you go to get it, there's nothing there. You see the reflection of the tree in the water, and the fruit is there. And if you go to take it, you don't get anything. You get a handful of water and it runs through your fingers, you have nothing. So the material world is like that. It is a reflection of the spiritual world. But it means that the reality exists somewhere. Because we're striving for eternal happiness, nobody wants to be unhappy. It's an indication that we've experienced that before. Otherwise, why are we searching for happiness? Why aren't we satisfied with whatever condition we're in? The fact that we're dissatisfied with our state of existence means that before we've experienced a better state of existence. Otherwise, what are we comparing it to? The fact that we don't like to get old is the indication that actually we've experienced not growing old. And the fact that we don't like to die is an indication that we've experienced no death, because for the soul there is no death. So all these old age, disease, death, they're unnatural. Superimposition, because we've accepted this shadow, this reflection as a reality. This is Maya. So then we have to wake up and come out of it. So the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's coming down to explain the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Of course, Arjuna doesn't need to be explained all these things, because Arjuna is an eternal associate of the Lord, Nitya Siddha. Wherever Krishna appears in the material world, Arjuna appears with him. But for the sake of us, then Arjuna is put under by Yoga Maya's agency, then Arjuna is put into illusion. So he can ask all the questions that we may ask for our benefit. And Krishna gives all the answers that we may also benefit. But here in this, at the end, right at the end of all these conversations, this is the very last thing that Krishna says. So what are the first things he says to Arjuna, and this is the most confident and knowledge thing, always think of me. But also before that, and at the end of this one, he says, why? Because you are my very dear friend, I am giving you this. I'm telling you this most confident and knowledge because you are my very dear friend. It doesn't say because of your tapasya. It doesn't say because of your intelligence. It doesn't say because of your pious activities. It says because you are my very dear friend. Very dear friend means love. When you're dear friend, that means very intimate relationship. So that's what Krishna's interested in. Nothing else. He's only interested in affection. Affection comes with deep relationship. Otherwise it's superficial. So this is the actual confidential part. Because you are my dear friend, I'm telling you these things. So this is the essence. We could learn from this. We should become a dear friend of Krishna. Whatever way of life, whatever path we're taking, whatever we're attracted to, according to our nature, whatever, that's not so important. But we should become very dear to Krishna. And Krishna should become very dear to us. And Srila Prabhupada says in another part is in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives a peace formula. One who accepts the Supreme Lord as the controller, the only enjoyer and the best friend. If you know these three things, then you can, he said, that is the actual peace formula. You'll become peaceful. Because if you know that the Lord is the controller and owner of everything, then you won't try to utilize everything for your benefit, for your own happiness, because you know that it actually is property of the Lord. And that He is actually the well-wisher, that actually He is interested in our upliftment, in our benefit. He's like a loving father. And He's the best friend. So many times it's mentioned like this, how Krishna is the best friend. And someone becomes dear to Krishna in any relationship. Arjuna was in Shakabhav, he's a friend of Krishna. Even though sometimes he knew Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like or when he showed his Visharup to Arjuna, Arjuna said, "I desire to see your Visharup, this form." And then Krishna showed it to him. Krishna smiled. "You really want to see this?" Then he showed it, and everywhere Arjuna looked, he could just see this form. There wasn't a place in the space and in the sky where he couldn't see this form. It was all over the place. But it was, you know, there was heads, arms, mouth, bellies, and then he saw all the armies, and Duryodhana and Bhishma and Drona. Everyone was rushing into these mouths, millions of heads, and he was just chomping them up. All living entities were there, just rushing. "What is this horrible form? What is this? I can't stand it anymore. Please, I don't know. What is this form?" Can't understand. Completely bewildered. Everywhere he looked, the outer space everywhere was nothing but this huge form. The Krishna says, "My form of time. Time I am. And I've come to, I'm destroyer of all the worlds, because everything's subject to time." Everything is subject to time. So you can say that actually time is eating everything all the while. What is happening is time. Is the time. Everything is disappearing into that time factor. As a start, a beginning, a middle, and then it's taken. So that was a manifestation, the personification of time in that form. That you can't escape because it's everywhere. And that he couldn't bear to see that. He was frightened. And so then he asked Krishna, please, stop this, stop it. And Krishna again showed his forearm form as the Supreme Lord Vishnu, just to satisfy some people who may not believe that the Lord is Krishna is the Supreme Personality. But then he resumed his original two-armed form. Then Arjuna was peaceful again. And then he apologized, "Oh Krishna, I'm so sorry. I never, when I'm relaxing with you on the bed and joking with you, and, you know, like that, I never knew. I forgot your actual position. I'm very sorry now. Please forgive my offenses." So then he was understood. But then after the thing, then he goes back to his normal relationship as a friend. The Yogamaya acts like that. So sometimes Yogamaya shows in this, and sometimes Yogamaya covers that. And then Krishna becomes his friend. So that loving relationship as a friend is so nice, it's so sweet, that the fact that he's God is not so important. So that this relationship we're discussing this morning, in friendship, in fraternity as a parent, or as a conjugal lover, in an amorous relationship, that's so nice, it's so sweet, so intimate, that even they understand he's God, it doesn't matter. Because this madhurya bhava, this sweetness of Krishna, is actually the main feature of Godhead, the personality of Godhead. It's a supermost feature, it's sweetness. It's more powerful than everything else. But if someone doesn't have that kind of relationship, then they see other the other opulences of the Lord. So generally you only see up to that, the opulences of the Lord, if you're fortunate, where He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Almighty Father, the Almighty Creator. And we'll be like this in front of Him, He's the Almighty Lord. Generally people can't go past that. But Krishna's saying here, my dear friend, you can't be friends with Narayan. Yeah? How can you say you're friends? You can't go up and put your arm around him or talk to him. He's always... So very difficult to get beyond this concept of God. No other religion is offering anything like this. So here now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given a different thing, that you can go beyond that. Much, much beyond that. Because you can worship the Lord in that as far as you can go is Dasyaras. That you can serve the Almighty God as his servant. Always remembering that He is the Almighty God and His servant. But when you understand His personality, then you can that aspect goes away. It's not so important anymore. It's like when the Prime Minister is out, then everyone's like this, like shaking. When he comes for a visit, there's so much security going on, so much preparations. But when he goes home, what do they say? What do these children do? They're not like this. They immediately run up and jump on him and put their hands in his pocket, see what he's got for them. Daddy, daddy, daddy. They don't say sir, they say daddy, daddy. Right? So he doesn't, his children don't do that, and his wife doesn't do that. And if he's not a very chaste person, then someone else may not have that relationship with him. They don't see him like that, because then it gets more and more intimate, you see. So even though the fact that he's a prime minister doesn't interfere with their relationship, because they have already established a very intimate relationship, somehow or other, by birth or whatever. So like this is what we want to establish. This is what's being offered. Otherwise, you can have this up to Shantya and Dasya Ras. You can have that quite easily. But to go beyond that. So here Krishna is saying, because you're my dear friend, I'm giving you this. But you always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. No need to worship him. Why you worship anyone else? Everyone else is worshipping me anyway. Why worship the devas? They're all my parts. So those who worship the demigods are actually worshipping me, but without direction. Bhagavad Gita. Because the demigods, he said, they're my limbs. In other words, they're doing my duty. Just like the Prime Minister, so many other ministers, cabinet ministers. Right, you've got your state ministers, this minister, that minister, all different ministers in every state. So it's not that the Prime Minister personally has to be here to supervise what's going on, because everything in Bangalore is running on by the Chief Minister and his men. So they're limbs of the Prime Minister. So the same way the demigods are the limbs of the Lord, they're managing the universal affairs. Because why he manage? He wants to enjoy. Why he'll take time off enjoyment to manage this show? He has so many servants. But the ones in Vrindavan, they have a very intimate relationship with him. These administrators don't. They still have some false prestige. Although they're very exalted. They want to serve Krishna, but I want to serve you like this. I want to manage the water department. I want to manage the light department. I want to manage the air department. Like this. So they get Vayu, Indra, all this. They get these positions. But the pure devotees, the qualification for understanding Krishna in Vrindavan, Braj Krishna, is that whatever you want, Krishna. What do you want? That's pure love. That's pure love. Love means I love you. Thus, not I love you because of I get this and I get that. That's business. So you see, these devas, although they're very wonderful, exalted devotees, they're not what we call pure unalloyed devotees. There's still some, they still need some recognition, some position. But the devotees in Vrindavan, their qualifications, they love Krishna more than their own life. This is very wonderful. Richard Maharaj, this is very wonderful. Can you please explain this again? They love Krishna more than their own life. It's very wonderful, because everyone thinks that they're the most wonderful. Nobody loves anyone more than themselves, if you think about it. Because without me, nothing has any meaning. Without you, nothing has any meaning. Right? If you don't exist, nothing has any meaning. Everything has meaning because you exist. So you're the most important person, actually. And if you're in bodily consciousness, then your senses are the most important. Your happiness from the senses, your sense gratification is the most dear thing for you. You'll live your life for that. But if you're a jnani, then you may move up to the mental platform, or philosophical, like that. And if you actually understand, if you become self-realized, then you understand the soul is my real identity. Then the soul becomes most dear to you. You love the soul more than the body. If you become a bhakta, then you understand that the soul of the soul, the super soul, Krishna, he's the most dear thing. So then you love him. So then you forget about your body, your atma, your mind, and your atma. In that love, that you just want his pleasure. So that's very rare. But this opportunity is given there. And that is actually a qualification for understanding this Krishna, who's a friend of Arjuna. And that is the qualification to go back to the Vrindavan in the spiritual world. Otherwise Vaikuntha is not so hard to obtain. You can easily go there, Vaikuntha planets. And these other planets here, Srila Prabhupada is saying one should meditate on this Krishna, not the other forms of Krishna, like Varaha, Narasimha. Yeah? Prabhupada is mentioning that there exclusively. It says one should fix his mind on this original Krishna. This is because this is the original form of God. From this Krishna, blue, two hands, peacock feather with a flute, from him all of the other expansions come. First expansion is Balaram. So Balaram is just like Krishna. He's standing here and he steps to one side, and but at the same time he stays there. The only difference is color. The only difference is color. Now he's become two. And then Balaram expands. So then Krishna's completely enjoying. He doesn't stop his enjoyment. Then Balaram expands and does all comes down to the other avatars and Vishnus. And then Krishna's internal energy, his pleasure potency, Haladini Shakti, expands as Radharani, who then expands into Lakshmi like this, and then the other form, Durga, and all the others come off from that side. But here it's saying, so he's the original personality of Godhead. So he says one should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms such as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate in the mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Because concentration on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And Krishna says, I'm telling you this because you're my dear friend. It's also perfection. If you have a relationship and to meditate on Varaha and Narayan, it's also perfection. It's the same person. But with that, you'll get the Lord, but you won't get his sweetness. You won't get that confidential relationship with him. You won't be able to experience that Shakyabha. Little bit, maybe Udhava, very rare. Hardly Vatsala, very very tiny bit outside. And he won't do that, because they always, even the queens who are married to him, they don't forget that he's God. But in Vrindavan, that he gets away. So if you want to go to this place, and Prabhupada is writing as a pure devotee of Krishna, so therefore he's speaking like this. If someone else is writing the Bhagavad Gita, they'd put it in a different way. But Prabhupada is actually pointing out this is the most confidential part of knowledge. And the most confidential part of God is Krishna, because that's the original form where everything else comes from. So it's not wrong to say this, but it's perfection. If you develop your relationship with Braha and Narayana, that's perfection. You'll go to Vaikuntha and you'll know you'll be complete. You'll be your happiness and love will be complete. You won't imagine anything more complete than that. So everyone in the spiritual world is like that. Their love is complete. And in Vrindavan, those in the mood of servants of Krishna, they can't imagine any more love than they have for Krishna, because they can't have any more love for Krishna, because their love is full. And those who are friends of Krishna, they can't imagine any more love. Anyone can love Krishna more than me, because no one can love Krishna more than them, because they love Krishna completely. And then the parents are thinking that their love is awesome. How can anyone love Krishna more than me? Because they love Krishna more than their own life. and the Shakyas are thinking the same thing. So here we may analyze that the Radharani's love may be greater, but how can you say Radharani loves Krishna more than her mother Yasoda? You can't say that. But from the technical point, you may say that with all those different other bhavas are contained in the Madhura bhava. Because in that relationship, sometimes the lovers, they order their beloved about, right? Like a parent, they order them. Sometimes they'll be equal, friendly, or sometimes they'll argue with them. So they take different positions. And sometimes they serve them. So they can experience all of those rasas in the top rasa. So technically looking at it, you can say this is a higher rasa. But actually, there's no difference when you're there. You won't say that when you're there. Because you can't imagine, everyone loves Krishna and that. Anyway, so this is a qualification, this is a very confidential thing that we should try to know, is to develop that affection for Krishna. That means bhava bhakti. So until you're rid of all these anathas, until you're rid of this idea of you being the enjoyer and there's some, you can find some satisfaction in this material world, it's very difficult to achieve this state. So this is our work, to actually put this down. It's trying to give up this idea that we can be the controllers and the enjoyers. It's very difficult, because that's actually what we come here for, to be the controllers and enjoyers. So it's a very difficult task that we have to say no. Otherwise the process is very easy. Simply chanting Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we're chanting, we're hearing, we're taking prasad, we're dancing, and we're doing some service, associating with devotees. The process is not difficult. But giving up those other things, which we are very much attached to, that is actually the hard part. But in any case, we have to come, if we want to go to this place, where Krishna is, Golok Vrindavan, we need to qualify. And that is a qualification. The qualification is affection. Real, the genuine affection for the Lord. Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai. Gopramana. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions on this wonderful shloka?
In the beginning, there is less description of spiritual world. Always it says you should meditate on the spiritual world and not on the material world. Why there is less description of the spiritual
world? Why is there less description of the spiritual world? I don't know. The siddhas are not writing so much about the activities of the spiritual world. Most of the activities that come from this Bhoma Leela, when Krishna's in Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu's in Navadvip, because it's actually a reflection. The Lord comes here to perform the same pastime to attract us, so they're actually visible and actually viable and historical. So we can't, people will have, it's not just in faith, it's not just in imagination. But he actually did come here. There is a place called Vrindavan, there is a place called Kurukshetra. They are actually historical events that happen, but the activities are so wonderful that they attract the minds of devotees. So generally it's this, but they're almost the same as the spiritual world. When Krishna took the residents of Vrindavan to the spiritual world one time, just to show them, they were surprised, this is just like our place. This is just like Nandagram. It's very similar, they were surprised, it's almost the same. Because actually they're not different. But there's some slight difference in the pastimes. There's no growing old or being born there. But whatever pastimes what there are with Krishna, that's for our benefit. So some description there, Brahma Sunita, some, but not so many. But of the Bhoma Vrindavan, there's many descriptions. The 10th canto is there, so much description. Bhagavatam. It's highest because it contains all of the others. lover can treat their beloved. They can become angry at them, right? They can scold them, they can treat them, order them around, they can serve them with great love, or they can be very much equal friendship. So you can find all of those relationships in that one. So therefore it's considered higher. From here, from this point of view. But from there you can't, there's no consideration of higher or lower. Because it's all absolute. Everything there is Satchit Ananda. There's no question of higher or lower. Everyone is loving Krishna truly, fully. So there's no question of lesser or greater love. From here we can make distinction, but from there you cannot.
Is it difficult to go to Vaikuntha?
Krishna appeared at 12 o'clock, so we fasted at 12 o'clock. Huh?
12 hours.
Krishna Balaram is the same, there's no difference. But Krishna appeared at that time, and Balaram appeared at this time, and Radharani appeared at this time.
It's very hard.
To what? Fast.
Hard to please. Krishna is very hard.
Hard to please.
So we
Well, this Krishna is—he maybe he's hard to please. He's actually because he's demanding. He said, "Sarvadharma pritya." Sarvada. He said, "He's demanding everything." So in that sense, he's hard to please. He's asking if he says, "You will give. If you want me, if you want Braja Krishna, you got to give up everything. If you want Vaikuntha, you don't have to do that. You can still keep your desires and get it. So you got these five kinds of liberation." So if you desire to be like Narayan, you can go to the, you can have that. So you can have the same form as Narayan. Or desire to live in the Vaikuntha planet. Fantastic. Fantastic. You can do whatever you like there. It's completely free, so much opulence, so a beautiful body, just like the Lord. Same planet. You can see the Lord daily, if you're lucky. You have a beautiful wife, beautiful husband, nice airplanes to fly around in, electric motors. You can do it. If you want that, you can have it. Same planet, Sarupya, Salokya, Mukti. If you want. That's not so easy. By chanting Hare Krishna, it'll take you there. By following this process, you can get that, because it's going to take you to Golok. So if you want to get up at Vaikuntha, you can get up. You want to get out at Ayodhya, or you want to get up at Dwarka or Mathura, you can also get out, if that's what you want. But this process will take you, it's going to take you anywhere you want. It's Chintamani. It's going to take you to the top, so it can take you anywhere else also. So even if you want something else, you follow this process, you can get. So therefore, in the Bhagavatam, it says, Akasa Savakama. If you've got all material desires, or no material desires, or you want liberation, you still worship Vishnu. Because he can give you all those things. He's the source of everything. But if you want Vrindavan, then it's different. If you want Navadvip, then it's different. You've got to be selfless. Your desire should be for Krishna's happiness, not your own happiness. That's the qualification. So therefore it's hard. Because it's demanding. But whatever you want, he says, as you surrender unto me, I'll reward you accordingly. So if you surrender him to that much, then he'll reveal that much. He'll reveal the form of Narayan. He'll reform the form of Dwarkadish. Whatever you want. Whatever much you, he's willing. Krishna says, here I am. Will you take me? As I am, if you want. This is the price. If you want something else, take it. This is the way to do it. You want to go to Swarga? Here's how to do it. The Vedic thing there. You worship this, do this yoga, do this punya. Worship this Devata. You want to go to the Saga, you want to go to Brahmaloka, you want Chandraloka, Pitraloka, you want? Just do it, take
it. Dwaparika has spoken to
you. Dwaparika, yeah.
Kaliga is second half of the stage, even you do not surrender, just stand the holy name.
Yeah.
Can you go back to Krishna and just stand the holy name?
That's the only way.
Without really surrendering.
Without, no, no. You won't.
No. I'm Without surrendering, you can't chant.
No, you can chant mechanically.
Right.
No, no. We had a parrot used to chant Hare Krishna. We trained it up to chant Hare Krishna. He's like, hey, bot, hey, bot. One day it flew away. He's in Mayapur. And he went in somewhere else and he was up in a tree. And he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Bot. They thought this must be some sage, you know, transformed into a parrot. And they crept up and they catched him, and when it was a big thing, everyone went round. They've got this special parrot. It must be some sage taking the form of a parrot. He chants Hare Krishna. So then we heard and we gave him another one, got it back. So even parrots can chant Hare Krishna.
Kali Yuga is very difficult to surrender.
No, it depends on your desire.
Kali Yuga yesterday, I think, it's difficult to surrender.
It's always difficult to surrender. because what are you surrendering? Maya. And Maya is so nice, right?
Impossible.
That's what's difficult, because you think Maya is so nice. But if we wake up and find it's actually keeping us here, Maya is actually covering Vrindavan. Maya is actually covering Vaikuntha, where the real happiness is. If we wake up from this illusion, then it will be easier. But while we still have this concept that Maya is very nice, then we're not about, it's going to be difficult to say no, it's going to be difficult to give it up. That is what's hard. The process is not hard. But it depends on your desire, where you want. You won't go to Golok if you don't want to go there, obviously. It depends on desire, and then your qualification. You must desire, and you must have the adhikari to take you there. Because you'll go away, because that'll take you anywhere. If that takes you, but you'll go where your heart wants you to go, that's all. It'll take you where your heart wants you to go. Because that's what you actually want. So therefore you have to be careful that you don't have material desires while you chant Hare Krishna, because you may get there, you may end up in that place. Yes, sir.
Lord Krishna says that I am given this conceptual knowledge because you have my friend. So until the process of friendship
No. No. Friendship means that you're in Shakya Bhav, but it means that even in Dasya Ras, that you recognize Krishna as your best friend, he's a well-wisher. Right? Just like your father is your best friend, but you don't treat him as a friend. Because he only has your welfare in heart, you know, your father. Your mother and father, you can say they're, you know, your best friends actually. Not that you're on an equal level with them as friends. The parent, the relationship is vatsala. The rasa is vatsala. But you consider them like best friends. So like that it means. Well, any relationship with Krishna, from dasya ras, it means a favorable relationship. Friendship means favorable. So that, this is bhava bhakti. And that won't be steady until you reach the stage of after nirvritti. Actually, Brahma Bhuta, self-realization. Then it can actually really, then it's real. Before that, it's more or less imagination, sentiment. See, I like Krishna like this, I like Krishna like that. It's more or less sentiment. It's nice. Krishna's there, you're there, the thing is there, but the relationship the relationship is just more or less imagination. Until you reach this stage of Brahma Bhuta, self-realization, then that relationship is fixed. Then Krishna becomes interested. Otherwise, because until that point, we're using Krishna for our benefit. We come in here, we chant in Hare Krishna because we want something, we want to take something from Krishna, we want our peace, happiness, etc. So until the stage of self-realization, your main interest is yourself, which means your body. Until you're self-realized, you're in bodily consciousness. So you want happiness for the body. So that's why we come into Krishna, to take some happiness. So that's not very, Krishna's not interested. Everyone's given that anyway. So you just go on a normal course of events, karma. But when you come to that, when you come overcome that stage, then Krishna's interested. Because then the affection is genuine. It is for Krishna, not just for yourself. It's not a business deal anymore. We can't cheat. He's a super soul.
All our goals are to be in Krishna consciousness and ultimately be
relationship with monks in Sikh Dharma.
How your relationships amongst each other, how should you deal with each other to achieve the goal of Krishna prayer? That is there in the nectar of instruction. So those who are junior to you, you should show mercy to. You should be compassionate, kind, and try to help them, uplift them. Those that are equal to you, you should show friendship, have friendship with. Huh? Giving prasad, accepting prasad, like this, inviting them for prasad, giving presents, accepting presents. Those who are senior to you, you should respect, try to offer some service to them, and submissively inquire from them, how can I advance more in Krishna consciousness? Right? So then that person, you become his junior. So what is his position? He has to show mercy to you. So everyone has these relationships. Whoever you are, there's someone above, there's someone equal, there's someone below. So this is the etiquette that we should deal with each other with. So you approach a senior and reveal your mind in confidence and inquire from them, and that will evoke their mercy. So you can't say, well, you have to wait for the senior devotee. No, if you play your part, you'll evoke that relationship back. If you approach someone in a submissive way, automatically you'll evoke that relationship, and they'll want to offer shelter. You're coming for shelter, you see. You're coming as a subordinate. So you're naturally going to invoke that sentiment of giving shelter. So it's a two-way thing, it's not one. Both relationships, they both must be genuine, otherwise the flow of knowledge won't take place properly. It's like when you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, if the speaker is sincere and the hearer is sincere, then the proper exchange is flowing. If the inquiry is sincere, but if it's a challenging one, if someone's challenging, then it's wrong. That's not etiquette. So then the flow of knowledge won't be proper. You won't get the proper answer. The inquiry should be submissive. That I really want to know. There's a doubt, not that there's a challenge. Well, he says this and he says this, and now you're saying this. Why is that? That's wrong. The mentality should be, I've heard like this, and he says like this, and you say like this, and now I'm a little bewildered, please clear me. Not that why you're saying this, because he says this, and he's a sannyasi, or he's an acharya, like this. So that is wrong. The etiquette is there. It's a science. Then the flow of knowledge will come properly. So in our dealings with each other, we should remember those three things, that's all. It's quite simple. Remember those three things. And our overall understanding, we're in Kali Yuga, we're all in these material bodies, everyone is suffering with their senses. Everyone, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that everyone is suffering with the six senses, including the mind. Is anyone here is not suffering with their senses and mind? I doubt it. I doubt it. So we're in a horrible position. We're in this bag of horrible things. Body's just a bag of chemicals, mucus, hair, bile, stool, flesh, bones, blood. Which, if it's not covered with skin, it's a horrible thing. We won't touch it. We have to take bath if we touch it. But because it has a nice coating of latex over it, then we think so nice. Not only that, we think that another one is attracted so much that we'll want to squeeze that, because it's packed up nicely. But if the packaging is not there, then it's, you know, we don't want to take back. What to speak of embracing it? We won't go near it. So the body is not a very desirable thing, actually. All full of impure things. So we're in the middle of this, and it's constantly making demands from us. But it's attractive because the soul is there, and the super soul is there. That's what makes it attractive. So, and it's always, and Maya's there, everywhere. And the consciousness that we want to be the controller and enjoyer is there. We've inherited that. We're a very fallen position. And then Kali's there, trying to upset us, trying to make any means or other. When you take the spiritual life, then Kali becomes more interested. Maya's doing a wonderful job anyway, bewildering everyone. But when someone comes a little serious about getting out of it, then Kali comes in and steps up all kinds of things, starts to create this unity even amongst the bhaktas. Tries to put one against the other, he's very expert. So everything is against you. Everything is against you in the spiritual world. You, first of all, the reason you didn't come here to surrender to God, you come here to forget God. That's the first thing, you come here. And you want to be the controller and the enjoyer. And now you've got to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the controller and the enjoyer. It's not what you came here for. So everything is difficult. And even if you're trying, then there's so many obstacles. So everything is difficult. It's very difficult. So understanding that, we should be compassionate. First you understand how much you're suffering. This comes with your self-realization. You're in a fix, in a horrible position. And then you can appreciate that others are also suffering like that. Because first it's charity begins at home. Then you can extend it out and say, we're all actually suffering, so don't cause anyone any more suffering. It's bad enough already. We've got enough problems of our own. Why should we inflict anyone else? Any more suffering on anyone? Let's try to assist each other in getting out of this place. So that then it'll be nice. But the position is, what do we call us? What is our title? Our title?
Das.
So when we say that, when we call each other Prabhu, Master, and I'm servant. So when I'm talking to you, I'm your servant. If I'm your senior, I'm serving you by showing mercy, giving you instruction, trying to lift you up. If I'm equal, I'm making friendships, we're giving presents. If I'm junior, then I'm serving you by doing some menial service. And at the same time, I'm inquiring from you. So everyone is serving. Every relationship is that of service, either up or down or equal. So if we appreciate this, that we're actually servants, then that false ego won't come up so much. That I'm the servant. I'm here to serve. Then everything will be nice, if we recognize that. It's difficult, because it's not what we want. We want to be the center, we want to be served. Because that's what the false ego wants. Against all that, we've got to try and think, I'm the servant. Which actually is a factual position. So if we believe that, when we say Prabhu, and we say Das, then if we're sincere, then we should act like that. Then there shouldn't be any conflict. And then understand your relationships with each other. And higher and lower is also not just the first thing is spiritual advancement. That's what you call senior most. But then there's also other considerations. There's age. We respect someone's age, who's older than us. Someone's gender. Someone's position, managerial position. Someone's karma, their position. They may have a lot of affluence, you respect that. They have a lot of punya. Also, whatever. So there's different orders what we respect, and sometimes they're overlapping. There's ashrams, so we have to. There's a little delicate balance there how to deal. But in any case, if you recognize you're a servant, then everything is nice. So Prabhupada said, whatever you do, he said, just do it nicely. Behave like civilized people. If the culture is nice, then you can appreciate, you're really amongst friends, the people that care for you, then you'll be satisfied. Because you really won't find it outside in the material world, outside of your immediate family. This only thing is for really exploitation. You're only friends because I can get something from you. I'm your friend because you satisfy my senses. If I satisfy your senses, you satisfy my senses. Very much, we call that love. But it's not, it's based on the exploitation. I'll exploit you, you'll exploit me. But it's not real love. Because as soon as it's one-sided, then the relationship finishes. As soon as I'm not getting anything, then we'll find another one, or get divorced or something. So the motivation is the pleasure I'm getting from that relationship. That's what makes it strong. But if that stops, then I'll go somewhere else. So it's not it's not for love, because it's self love. I'm going to you because I'm getting some pleasure. When that pleasure, if you stop that, then I'm not going to serve you anymore. Right? If your boss doesn't pay you anymore, you're not going to go there. But you may say, "Oh, boss is such a I'm so happy in this job." But if he doesn't give you a salary, you're gone. You know, they say they want one day. So like that, all the relationships are based on that principle. It's more or less exploitation, what you can get for myself. But here we've got to take the role of dust. we're actually serving each other. We want to serve each other. So if you think like this, that we're in such a horrible position anyway, it's really, we don't want to cause anyone one iota of more of distress, and it's already bad enough. Just trying to stay alive, just trying to get some rice. The hard struggle for existence. In Kali Yuga, you need rice to live. In other yugas, you need less. But in Kali Yuga, you need rice, grains, to exist. So he says, and it's still called the hard struggle for existence. That means just to get some food and shelter is difficult. So we should try to develop this compassion, and it should come through knowledge. We really understand our position. The more we practice, the more realization we get. The process will give realization, but the realization is all. Is that it's not just one thing. It's everything becomes automatically revealed like that. Not just one aspect. We will become more compassionate. We will become more humble. We will become more learned. We will become more realized as it goes on. It should be like that. And it's not. We better go back and see what aren't we doing properly. The process starts from faith. Faith next is sadhu sangha. You associate with devotees. Then the next comes Vajana Kriya. The devotees say you chant Hare Krishna. You hear and chant about Krishna every day. So that's what's going on now. We're associating with, we have faithful, we're faithful, we're here. We're associating with each other, and Vajana Kriya is going on. We're having kirtan, we're hearing and discussing. Then the next comes Vanatha Nivritti. Those unwanted things are going away. If they're not going away, then you think, am I associating properly? Is my bhajan kriya proper? Is my faith proper? You have to go back. If you think I'm making an advancement, you better go back and check, am I doing these things properly? Am I associating properly? Association means those three things. So when you can check. If you feel you're not advancing, then you better go back. What am I doing wrong? It's a science.
Krishna will be performing spiritual in a pastime. In other material universe also, now he will be performing pastime. So Gopa said, if you are not perfect, you go to that material universe. And there, where Krishna is performing pastime, you get trained up there, then go to Goloka Vrindavan.
Yes.
So can you throw some light on that? How will you go? What condition is required? I'm not understanding that point.
How will you go to another universe where Krishna is appearing in the material world? Then you're finishing everything off. Yeah, that's it. Even if you're not pure, if you didn't manage to conquer all of your senses and you didn't attain the stage of prema, you can still take birth in the universe where Krishna's appearing and finishing everything off and then go back to the spiritual world. But you've got to have devotion to take birth there. Because that's like the finishing school. That means you're serious and you really want to become a devotee, and there is some devotion there. But it may not develop up to the stage of prema. But anyway, Krishna's a person, he's seeing. It's not just a mechanical thing that, you know, you've got to love me to 10 degrees. If you only love me 9.5, then sorry, that's it. No, it's not like that. We don't experience like that. If someone shows a little affection, right, then we reciprocate with that affection. So he's a person, so he may waive so many things that we still have so many material desires. We're not free from material desires. But if we really have some bhava for Krishna, and we really want that, but at the same time we can't say no to our conditional nature, then Krishna, you may waive all that, and then next birth you can finish up.
That means, Prabhu, without prema bhakti, to get chance Krishna the time of leaving the body doesn't guarantee you will go to Goloka. You may go to some other.
If you don't have Krishna prema. If you don't have prema bhakti,
yeah.
And you're chanting
Krishna's name, then leaving the body.
Well, right. Krishna doesn't say that. He says, whatever you think of at the time of death, that state you will attain without fail. He doesn't say you have to have love. When you look at it analytically, this is what you've got to have, because this is the mentality of the residents of Vrindavan. They love Krishna more than their own lives. That's their qualification for being there. So if you want to go there, if you want to be certain to go there, you develop that consciousness here, then you're certain to go there. Because where else will they go? You have no more interest in material life, you won't take birth again, because there's no more karma. So you're bound to go there. But if you don't have that, then where will you go? It's risky. So that's the process, is to reach that stage of prema bhakti. But even if you don't, even if you don't, then you can, the Lord is very merciful. He knows. He knows what you want, but He knows you can't do it also because you may be very weak. So then you'll take birth and He give you facility in a place where He's, a universe where He's appearing. But if you don't have Prema Bhakti, and you do remember Krishna, even though you haven't controlled your senses, you can still go back to His abode. Of course. That's His promise. Whatever you think of, that state you will attain without fail, He says. So now life, this is a training. That's why Krishna says, we're reading today, manmana abhamabhakto. Always engage your mind in thinking of me. Everything you do should be molded in such a way that you always remember Krishna, because any moment now you're going to leave. Nobody can guarantee whether it's going to be 1 moment or 2 moments or 50 years. You can't say. But at any moment, it may be. Maybe the next moment. 1 moment is going to be the next moment, right? For sure. The moment before you die is going to be the next moment. Right? It's not that you have to wait till you're an old man. It depends on your karma. Right? If you're 45 and your karma is to die at 46, you're a really old man. You're a very old man. Right? Right? Because your life is almost over. Anyway, that's Krishna's promise, whatever you think. So that's training now. We're training for that, to always remember Krishna every day, all the time. So at the time of death, if you do get old, if you do die a natural death, you seen an old man die? You saw your grandfather die? It may be very difficult. Your voice, all your mucus comes up, it can't breathe. So many things, everything's packing up in the body. You're going seeing black spots and, you know. It may not be so easy to remember Krishna. But if you've had training, then you'll understand, what's the use of this old bag? What a relief to get out of this fix. I can't do anything. I can't even move. People have to do everything for me. They have to move me around. What a horrible thing. You'll really have a lot of realization if you've had the proper training. It's just like a dried up old apple. Completely useless. Everyone's just waiting for you to die. You're useless in the material world, practically speaking. You can't speak, you can hardly breathe. Right? The mucus comes up, your voice chokes, all these things are going on. But at least you can remember Krishna if you can't do anything else. If you can't even chant Krishna's name, you can remember Krishna. So this is training. And that's a real test at the time of death. And most people don't have that training, therefore they're frightened. They don't want to leave even such an old rotten apple bag, which is useless. They don't want to leave, they're so attached. Doctor, give me another few more years. I have to finish my business. And then they call Ma, what they call your wife, you call your children. Who can help you? It's so attached, and then they hover around as a ghost or something. It's so attached. That's why you have to burn the body. And the son has to break the head so that, you know it's finished. It's a horrible thing to take birth. Nobody asked you to take birth. You came here by choice. Abrahma, Bhuvana, Loka, because from the top to the bottom is the place of misery. But nobody asked you to come here. Nobody forced you to come here. And nobody's going to force you to go back. You've got to do it yourself. It's your free choice. But if you've had training, then what a relief to get out of this position of complete... You're just like a vegetable stuck inside this bag. That's what it's going to be like. Everyone's going to experience this. If you die a natural death, old age, you're going to see it. What a horrible position. You're just waiting to leave. What a relief. You get a brand new body, spiritual body. What a relief. You'll be happy. So therefore, the self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He's not bewildered. But the person that doesn't have this understanding, then he's panicking, because he doesn't know what... The unknown is frightening. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Therefore, he's panicking. His mind is disturbed. A sober person, understanding what's happened. Now you've changed your body so many times. You had a baby's body, you had a boy's body, you had a youth body, you had a young man's body, you had an old man's body, and now you're getting a new body. You've seen so many changes of bodies. What's the big deal? Now you get a complete change. Shouldn't be surprising. So by that time, if you have enough knowledge and understanding, why should you be attached to this body anymore? Jesus, it's finished. Can't do anything. Jesus. So even now, it's wonderful now. Now we get a new body, get out of this thing. Because you've been suffering for so many, probably a year or so at least, you're suffering. Unless you're fortunate, you have a quick death. If you're really active till you're old. Right? Otherwise, you've got some time, it's going to be there. But what a relief to get out of that. So that's it. If we have the knowledge, then it will be a relief. We'll be happy to. Happy to. That's why we have kirtan when someone leaves their body. We have a feast. It's a celebration. When a devotee dies, it's sad that they're leaving us. We don't have their association. But it's happy because they're getting a better destination. So we don't lament. Well, when you say Krishna, what do you think of? If you hear Krishna, what do you think of immediately? You think of a blue boy, Tribhanga form, bleak cock, parade, and a flute. What else do you think of when someone says Krishna, what do you think of? So automatically when you say the name, you think of the form, then you think of the qualities, then you think of the leela, pastimes.
Last question, bro.
If you think of Radharani's name, then definitely Krishna will come. Radha's name is more powerful than Krishna, because Radha attracts Krishna. If you chant Radha's name, then you'll have no problem.
No problem.
No, that's why the residents of Vrindavan, they're all Radha, they're all Radha bhaktas.
When devotee met with an accident and he was leaving for Vrindavan to Delhi, then he said Radha, Radha, and
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Radharani ki
jai.